Welcome back to the Mindful Hunter podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jay Nicol. I am out of town this week competing at the Toronto Pro Super Show Pro Qualifier. It is my second and final bodybuilding competition. I'm pretty excited both to go compete, but also to transition on to what's coming next, which we can save and get into on a future episode. But being that I'm out of town and was pretty slammed before I left, what I wanted to do is post up a review that made it to YouTube but never made it to the podcast. So this was the headlamp review that I did between Phoenix, Nightcore, and Peaks. Now, one thing that I want to note is that after I posted this review initially, I got a slew of DMs about this Sofrin Chinese headlamp that bears a striking resemblance to the Peaks. So before you run out and buy the Peaks, because I do end up recommending it in this review, I do want you to know that I have acquired the Sofrin and I am in the midst of comparing the Sofrin and the Peaks to try and quantify what, if any, differences there are between the $20 Chinese version and the $100 US version. So I'm going to try and nail that out as soon as I get back. So that should be up in a week or two. But I think there's still some good insights in this review, and I think it's worth listening to. As always, if you can support the podcast in any way, like, comment, share, subscribe, it would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to the Mindful Hunter. I'm your host, as always, Jay Nicol. And today we're going to do a bit of a headlamp battle. We're going to look at the Nightcore HC65, the Peaks Backcountry Duo, and the Phoenix HM65RT. Now, before I dig into the review, remember, this review and all reviews are brought to you by Mindful Reviews. Mindful-reviews.com. That is the community platform I have built for people to engage and belong to that are interested in highly technical, very analytical, overly detailed, probably too long, but non-sponsored gear reviews. Now, if you belong to the community, you get to participate in the gear reviews, you get to help select which gear I review, you get to participate in raffles for the gear that I raffle off, and if you're a lifetime member, you're eligible for the once a month prizes that I give away, and I try and keep those prizes in the $500 range. So coming up at the end of this month, I'm giving away a tripod panhead combo, doing a slick 634 carbon fiber tripod paired with a Wiser Precision Nighthawk PH-170 panhead. It's one of my favorite combos that I used last year, and so I put it together and I'm gonna give away one of those. All you gotta do to enter is either be a lifetime member or become a lifetime member between now, and I'm gonna give that prize away on Saturday, May the 6th. So that's all the shameless self-promotion BS. Again, mindful-reviews.com. If you like what I do and you wanna see more of it, that is the single best way to support me and show that you support these types of non-sponsored reviews. All right, let's dive into the review. Now, I want to start with a little bit of a story because I think I was doing a Q&A maybe a month or two ago. And one of the questions was, what is the biggest surprise you've ever had doing a review? And I got to be honest, like I didn't have a fantastic answer. And so I said something like, you know, I honestly didn't expect EXO to win the backpack competition. That was a surprise to me. I didn't expect my Sea to Summit tent to leak. That was a surprise to me. Although that, I'm going to be just, that was highly likely due to user error on my part because I have not under any circumstances been able to replicate that issue. But these are the kind of like boring surprises that I noted in the Q&A. Well, I can officially say this review takes the cake for the surprises of surprises. So I have actually been conducting this review since August, and it's April right now. So August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. This has been 9 months that I've been looking at these headlamps. I've taken them all on multiple hunts, fall hunts, late summer hunts, deep winter hunts. I've used them all equally I had big spreadsheets built. I was clocking all kinds of details, battery recharge times, battery discharge times, the amount of lumens, the different colors. Like, it was mindful reviews taken to the next degree. I was super proud of how detailed and analytical everything was. And then this happens. So I'm literally done everything. And I realize I don't have footage of the different brightness modes on the different headlamps. So what I decided to do is fully charge all the headlamps, set up a dark room in my house, and then I was going to show them all every hour on the hour. The idea being, I wanted some empirical data or something visual to really showcase, like, okay, how bright are these at the beginning and how fast do the more battery hungry ones die? And at the end of the day, you know, which one is going to be the best option for you? So I start doing this test, and the only way that I can do it in the best way I can figure out to do it is I turn all three headlamps on and I kind of cover them next to my body. And then I have the camera set up with the exact same like shutter, aperture, and ISO for all of them so that I'm going to get the exact same reaction from the camera every time I flash the wall in this room with one of these lights. So I go through the first kind of phase of this testing, and I do the three, right? And then I forget what happened. It's either like a phone rang or something happened, and I realized I needed to go get something. So I took the Nightcore headlamp, and this was in my bathroom down here, and I have a laundry kind of station in the bathroom, and I had some piled up clean folded laundry. And just so we're super transparent here, I didn't realize what I was setting it down on, but I set this headlamp down on a pair of Lululemon boxers, my favorite boxers, which, by the way, if you want an overly detailed video on the best boxers for backcountry hunting, in my humble opinion, go look at this link over here and check out that video. But Lululemon, always in motion, air mesh, long 7-inch boxers, if you don't feel like going and watching the whole video. So there's a pair of those folded up on some other clothes sitting on top of the dryer. So I took this headlamp, it's on high. Now when this headlamp is on high, it's 1800 lumens. That is an insane amount of power. It's twice as powerful as the Peaks, almost twice. The Peaks is 1,000 lumens, and I think off the top of my head, the Phoenix is around 1,400 or 1,500. It's a little tricky with the Phoenix and the Nightcore because they have a flood lamp and a spotlight, and if you turn them both on at the same time, you're going to get more lumens, but lumens are not a linear measurement, so it's not like by turning on a second lamp of equal power, you're going to get double the lumens, so like, the numbers are a little bit wonky, but for our purposes here, the Nightcore is by far the most powerful of these three. You know, a solid 70% more powerful than this one and a solid 30% more powerful than this one. So I take it, I set it down on the boxers, I walk into the little kitchen that's in the basement, I do something for like less than 30 seconds. I come back in and the entire bathroom is full of smoke. I'm like, what's going on? I look down and I can see red embers spreading out and this little spark of flame pops up from the boxers that the headlamp had been set down on. You can see crystal clear. It actually lit the plastic casing, like the lens cover, on fire and burnt a hole completely through it. I swear to God, I did nothing else other than turn it on and set it down like this. Now, here's the thing. Some people are going to jump down my throat and be like, well, a headlamp's not meant to be pushed up against fabric. And it's like, have you ever gone camping? Have you ever taken your headlamp off your head with it still on and not thinking about it, just set it down on the floor of your tent? Because I've done that shit about 100 times. In fact, I'll even do it on purpose. Like, if it's too bright in the tent and I just want to do something maybe on my phone or I want it dark for a minute for whatever reason, I will specifically put the headlamp lens side down in order to block out the light on the floor of my tent. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if there's something magic about that fabric in those boxers. I wasn't about to complete like an exhaustive test and try and light headlamps on fire on a variety of different fabrics. But if it can light on fire from being set on a pair of boxers, in my opinion, it can light on fire from being set on your sleeping bag, on the floor of your tent, on a pair of gloves in your tent, like anything that you would set it down on. Now, somebody else might say, well, you had it on max power. There's no need to have it on max power. I'm not gonna argue with that, but I'm not gonna take the chance of something like that happening, even if it is on half power. Maybe I go to set it down and it's only one or two clicks from mid power to high power. There's only five settings on here. So you touch this button twice and it's gonna go from 800 lumens to 1800 lumens. Needless to say, if there is any possibility whatsoever that a headlamp can light my tent on fire while I'm sleeping inside of it, there is zero chance that I'm gonna use that headlamp. So all this analytical work that I did on these three headlamps, it starts to go out the window as soon as this thing lights on fire, because now it's like, well, all the data about this is garbage. I'm gonna jump in and say something else about Nightcore. I recently ran their Carbo 2000 battery pack, and I fully charged it. I took it on a deep winter hunt, and I only got about a 3/4 of an iPhone charge out of a pack that should have charged an iPhone somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 5 times. And so that is two instances where a Nightcore product has had like a freakishly poor response. So as far as I'm concerned, Nightcore is dead to me. You will never see them on this channel again. I will never buy their products again. Like, two catastrophic failures like that, from mission critical products. Luckily, because I was testing battery banks on that particular hunt, I had multiple battery banks with me. During the whole period of me testing these lamps, I always had at least two of them. Some combination of these three always came with me, because I thought if one of them dies, because they're new and I'm testing them, I need a backup. But for any other normal person who would have bought these and it would have been their only headlamp or their only battery pack, 2 for 2 with two catastrophic failures, that's it. I'm tapped out. No more Nightcore. Nightcore is dead to me. Okay, so then there were two, right? So we start with three. Nightcore nukes itself. Now it's out. Here's the thing with the Phoenix. There's a lot of stuff about this headlamp that I do like. Here's the issue. There is no red lamp. That's one major issue. And after going through all my testing, I've realized that's a deal breaker for me. As a hunter, I only am gonna run headlamps that have not only a red lamp, but a powerful red lamp. Because I think there's too many instances in hunting where it's clutch to have a really powerful red LED on your headlamp. So the fact that the Phoenix does not have a red LED knocks it out of the competition. Here's the other thing that knocks the Phoenix out of the competition, in my opinion. This head strap is actually remarkably innovative. It's super cool. You basically lift this dial up and you can stretch this thing out to full capacity. You click the dial in, and when you spin it, it tightens it up, kind of like a boa strap, right? So that's super cool. I have a gigantic melon head. And I'm not alone. I know there's other hunters out there with gigantic melon heads just like me. And I basically have to wear this thing at full, like that's as big as it gets right there, what you're looking at. The problem is some of the toques I wear on these deep winter hunts, or sometimes when you've got like a ball cap and a hoodie on, it got to the point where it would be so tight on my head, it would give me a headache. And then the other thing, the way this thing, this clasp at the back here is particularly hard plastic, and I like to read in the tent at night, and so I usually wear my headlamp, and this bit into the back of my head pretty uncomfortably. Like, it wasn't the end of the world, you know what I mean? But if I had a choice, I wouldn't run this. So, no red LED, a strap that doesn't go big enough, and a kind of uncomfortable hunk of plastic. Now the Phoenix is out of the competition. Then there was one. So I'm gonna be honest, when I first started this review, I didn't have particularly high hopes for this headlamp. I'm gonna say it's got a lot of influencer support. They're not bad guys, but like, the people who run Peaks go in pretty hard on Peaks. There's a lot of personalized discount codes that these guys are getting commission on. They push the peaks pretty hard. And that is normally a bit of a warning sign for me. I'm just not, that type of marketing doesn't draw me in. If you need to pay people with personal affiliate and discount codes in order to push your gear, that's normally not a great sign for me. I don't want to make that the be-all and end-all, though. I don't really have anything in general against that type of marketing, other than the fact that it just rubs me the wrong way. Like, it doesn't feel good. I don't personally enjoy it. So that had a little bit of a poor taste in my mouth right out of the get, but I pride myself on unbiased, non-sponsored reviews. So when I go into shit, no matter what my personal feelings may be about something, I come into it with an open mind and just willing to look at the details and the data that is in front of me. And by the way, this is the newer version of the Peaks that has, it's got a couple little different features. Like, I think the button lights up to let you know when it's fully charged. It's USB-C instead of micro USB. There's a couple other little options. It's not a big game change from version one, but I do really like the upgrades. But after running this on a number of hunts and doing a bunch of testing at the house here, I gotta tell you, I really feel like this is the best option right now on the market for a hunter. I think they have done a really good job. It's not perfect. There's some things I don't like about it, but first, let's get into the things that I do like about it. The battery life to light power, or the battery to power ratio, is outstanding. I'll be honest, I want to dig into this a little bit more. I think it's because of the single LED bulb that they use. I'm not 100% sure, but in testing it against all these three, when you kind of try and find a somewhat equivalent lumen ranking around 1,000, these don't go to exactly 1,000, so I had to do a bit of math. The length that this particular headlamp would stay significantly bright at 1,000 lumens blew these other two out of the water. Now, the battery in this one is like 100 milliamps, 100 milliamp hours bigger. This is a 3,600 milliamp hour battery, and one of these is 3,500 and one of these is 3,400. So they're really close in the same ballpark. 100 milliamp hours does not explain the significant improvement in battery life on this particular headlamp compared to these two. So there's the number one thing. Battery to power ratio, outstanding. Size, love it. It's compact, it's small, there's not a lot of weird stuff hanging off of it. It can go in the hip belt of your backpack pocket, no problem. Can go in your cargo pants pocket, can go anywhere. It is the smallest and lightest of all the headlamps by at least an ounce and a half. It is incredibly lightweight. The user interface is phenomenal. Here's the thing. Some of these headlamps require a PhD in order to operate. In the past, what I've had to do is actually take a picture of the instructions and save it on my phone because it was so complicated to figure out like how to get into the different modes and how to lock it and how to unlock it and how to do, and there's multiple buttons and all this other stuff. It was just like, it's a nightmare. And then sometimes it does what you think it's gonna do and sometimes it doesn't. And you could be in a mission critical situation where you just want the red light to come on or you just want it to come on in low, and then it turns on this like star bright flood lamp thing on you. The controls and the interface could not be simpler with the Peaks. You literally, every time you click it, it just goes through the cycle of options. So one click gets you the lowest setting, two, and then every time you click it, it'll go to a different brightness, and then it switches over to the red and goes through a different brightness. And then literally just cycles again and again and again. And when you want to go off, you just hold and let go. Done. Turn it back on, and it's going to come back on at whatever setting you left it on. So if you've got the red because you're like a little bit worried that, you know, you're going to spook something and you shut it off, when you turn it back on, the red is what's going to come back on. Fantastic. Simple, clean, intuitive. Let's talk a little bit about what I don't like. I am not the biggest fan of this strap. For me, it's a little bit thin and it slips. It won't stay tight. So I tighten it, I put it on my head, I walk around, I move around, the thing slips and it moves and it will just slowly kind of creep open on you. So every time you kind of put it on your head, you got to like re-tighten this thing. And I just think it's a little, it's kind of lazy engineering. Like take a little bit more time, figure out some clasps that have a bit more friction and hold things a little bit tighter. The rotation of the headlamp is too loose. You'll notice a second ago there when I was holding it and I like flipped it down, it can just rotate down. And so sometimes when you're walking, if you take a big bouncy step, it'll like slowly just start working its way down on you. There's not a whole lot of friction holding this thing in. And I was thinking what kind of surprised me is there's not like some ribbed lines. Because if there was some ribbed lines, then you would have like little stoppers. And I think that would be a relatively easy thing to machine into these tubes. Now, when you're wearing it and it's held tight against your head, it does seem to apply a little bit more pressure on these arms. But again, much like the slippy head strap, it's just a little bit of lazy engineering. I feel like they're 90% of the way there. And if they just had gone that extra little mile, I pick up all kinds of gear. I'm constantly getting new gear. You know, you watch the channel, I'm reviewing all kinds of stuff. The tactile engagement and like how stuff feels when you play with it really plays a big part in like your sense of quality and what you feel about the piece of gear. So when little things like thin, slippy straps and like loose rotation, it doesn't give you the sense of like high quality. And so that bugs me. That the plate here that sits on your forehead is quite narrow. And so what happens is the weight can kind of like pull it down pretty easily so that it will like kind of feel floppy on your head. And then you got to wear this head strap really tight in order to keep it from not bouncing. Again, I think if you just widened or even like gave this kind of like an oblong shape in the middle and there was a wider section of surface area against your forehead, this would be less likely to kind of tip down on you. And I think it would be a better user experience. Now, finally, the weather resistance rating on this is IPX6. Now, I just did a whole big thing on one of my last videos about the different IP ratings. It stands for ingress protection. The first digit signifies dust protection and the second digit signifies water protection. So the fact that it has an X and not a number means that it's not giving you a dust rating at all. And a 6, while it's a satisfactory rating, is not as high. For instance, these other two headlamps are rated IP68. So they give you a dust rating of 6 and they give you a water rating of 8 as opposed to this, which is a water rating of only 6. Now a water rating of 6 means that this will withstand high pressure, heavy sprays of water. That's essentially rain. So you can wear this thing in the rain and you'll be okay. These can be submerged up to a meter for 30 minutes. Okay, that is a significantly different weather rating or water rating protection than this one. So my only question is, if these guys were able to pull off, you know, an IP68, these are actually less expensive. These are like $100 a piece. This is $125, all USD. How come for $125, Peaks isn't able to provide the same IP68 rating that these particular headlamps were able to provide? I would like to know that I could dunk my headlamp into running water for 10 or 15 seconds by accident and it still work. Now here's the thing, in a real world scenario, I bet you could dunk this thing in a creek for 15 seconds and you're gonna be just fine. However, IP68 is, I feel somewhat industry standard when it comes to a headlamp. This is a mission critical piece of gear. And I think having it stand up to being submerged for 1 meter for up to 30 minutes, I don't think is too much to ask. Now, listen, all of that stuff is super nitpicky. Super nitpicky is what I do. Super nitpicky is my job. I want to go back and tell you, I have three lamps, headlamps here. I have another four headlamps in my gear room that, to be honest, I don't even think are worth talking about. But I've run over seven headlamps over the past 10 months. And despite the flaws that I just mentioned, I think Peaks has, in relation to the competition, knocked it out of the park. This is currently my favorite headlamp. Do I think there's a couple things they could do to make the user experience better? Absolutely. But they're not deal breakers, in my opinion. Having a 1,000 lumen headlamp that will run for 6 to 8 hours on one battery charge, has an incredibly impressive red LED, is an extremely small footprint, and the lightest, I would say, like next generation headlamp that you can buy that's on the market right now. Yeah, man, it's a winner. So there you go. Not your typical review for me. No spreadsheets, no data, not all the rest. One lit on fire, one didn't fit my big fat head, and we're left with the Peaks Backcountry Duo. I hope you guys found that useful. As always, if you have any more questions for me or you disagree with any of that stuff I said, I always invite good dialogue and conversation. Drop a note in the comments section below. I would love to get back to you. And again, if you want to support what I do, if you want to see more of these reviews, mindful-reviews.com. Come on over, join the community. You can do monthly, annual, or lifetime memberships. We'd love to have you. And until next time, thanks for tuning in.